Okay, so we have to be a little bit abridged today, but first just a comment on the schedule going forward, just to make clear. So there's a midterm on Wednesday, an oral midterm, so everybody should do a good chazara, hopefully enjoy the chazara. That's always better that way. and try to put together the different things that we've done. We'll continue to be making reference to the previous topics. Again, we're going to move more quickly, straightforward now. But the topics are interconnected. That's why we have these akdamas. And therefore, hopefully it'll be enjoyable, but especially, either way, it's very important just to kind of take a step back for a few days and try to, assimilate and, attach the different topics to each other. So that's going forward. After that, probably spend another day or so. Let's say Thursday we're going to start a little earlier, hopefully, like 10:30. So we can make up a little bit of time. Maybe we'll take another few, a little bit of liberty for the next few shiurim, and we'll see. But just to finish up the whatever we don't do today, because today's sure a little shorter, either on Chulin Altar HaKodesh or Tuma generally, that for sure also includes the Tosas and Al Atar, some of the things I gave you to look at, a little bit about Chibas HaKodesh, a little bit about the broader questions of Tuma B'chulin, which we're going to speak broadly about today, about Mifar Cheses. And then from there, I want to briefly talk about Karev Kachal. Again, we did it last year, very, very extensively, right? And so we don't need to, spend more than a day on it. But there are some, local issues that we mentioned last year, but they're really here. So just refer general idea. But again, we will, just do a drive-by to do the Rishonim Al Atar. That's Rashi, the Rach, Tosus. Rashi, the Rach, the Ramban, we'll get to tell us a different topic, the Meiri, and just look very quickly at the Rambam. Again, I'm not going to do a whole massive discussion we had on the Rambams, but just, be aware generally of what the problems are, and of course the view of the Balei Tosfos and the Ramban. That's either you can get it either through the Rash in Ohalos, Aleph Beis, or the Tosas in Nazir. The Ramban is Per Sala Torah. But again, we're not going to go through all these Marmakomos. I'm just going to, make a few reference to it. Obviously, the question is how seriously we take care of Kecholo, whether or not, there's really a drop-off in the intensity of the Tumah. Again, Joey's here, so he's our superconductivity guy. We really did it a lot. We spent probably a week and a half last year on it, and I envision spending basically a day now just to review a little, and for those who weren't here, just to get some sense of at least what the issues are. After that, topics that we haven't done, I want to really move on to klisharis. Both in Shchitas Kadshim and in Shchitas Chulin, that comes out of the Gemara here on Gimel Amud Aleph, and again the Rashi, Tosos, the Ramban here, Rama. I'll give you Mar Makomos for that probably, even though you're studying in the week, but we'll pass them on during the week so people can start focusing on that as well, because that's really the next big topic that I want to do. It shouldn't take so long. That's the Tosos, the Ramban, the Rambam. The Gemara in Sota, is there a requirement of klisharis for kachim, for kulin? What does the shechita do for kachim? Again, we touched on it a little bit the other day. I think I mentioned that Zera Avram has an interesting discussion, whether shechitas kulin mostly also is about being matir, Eivor Menachai, and the Vela, or it's also about being matir mukdashim. But in addition to that, that's an interesting question, and whether b'klal masayim mana, how what the relationships are and what it implies about their connection. But there's also another question, and that is whether shechita is mekadesh the animal. It's part of the hakdasha, through a klisharis, so whether the dam has the Shechita on the Dam is connected to that as well. So that's one of the things I want to talk about. And then after that, again, going straight, the topic of Yotze V'Nichnas will be Yotze V'Nichnas to Yotze V'Nichnas. So, in other words, if anybody wants to, become a professional mashgiach or something, this is the training ground right here, in this year. Teach people how to be a mashgiach. Mirtas and... when do you trust people, when you don't trust people? Questions of halachic, trust in halachic context, a very interesting question. So we're not going to be able to do it fully, but this is an important sugya. And then after that, again, more trust questions, kuti and mumar. Okay, so that's going forward. One brief comment Eitan brought to my attention. We were talking about, default isurim and default Terim. It's a very massive topic. We just touched on it in the context of the Kovas Aros, and I was mentioning some other Makoros. And I think we did also, make clear that, some of these issues might be about that, and others, might not. One of the things I mentioned was that it's appealing, in light of the Yerushalmi, Lashem Ha'aretz Umloa, and that its connection to Amirasa Legavon, Sirasa Lehedyot. And again, especially also in light of Gemara and Brachos, to see that the default, everything belongs to the Ribono Shel Olam, and if everything belongs to him and it's all kudshim, especially, so it should be usur. Again, it doesn't mean everything is usur; it could mean everything is kodesh, and therefore you require the right level of preparation and the right matirim, and so on. It also could be more of a gabra. You need his permission, as we discussed. Bailus, that's one of the things I was saying in the end. But either way, that's an interesting and important makom. But Eitan brought to my attention that, interestingly enough, the Me'iri, in Kiddushin Daf Chaf Chesamid Beis, says that Kosa Yerushalmi, but his read on it or his take on it is decidedly different. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. So basically, he has the whole idea being connected to Kinyan Kot, meaning Hashem Aretz Imloah, and therefore, the Ribono Shel Olam has a Kinyan Chatzer on the world, and therefore, everything that is in the world is in his, becomes his, or is automatically his. By Lepre Se Ami Russell Ligavoa Kim Si Russell Ahead. That's an interesting take. Right, and it doesn't say that in the Yerushalmi. That's the Me'iri's, Perush Advarim. But of course, if you say that really has nothing to do with default status. It's always a generated status by virtue of the Amarasa Kol. The other way is to emphasize more. Kol Hecha Di Isa Begazad Rachmana Isa. Again, if you say like this, it means because the Din of Chatzah. And I was saying more, not just me, but those who interpret that way, Yerushalmi, that it's more about the status itself. Chepza shall Kodesh. Anyways, these are some of the things that we're going to look at. For now, let's look at the, let's go back to base on base very quickly and just discuss a couple of issues. Again, this is a big, big topic. I'm not learning Taros now, but again, it's, the interface of Chulin and Taharos comes up in this Gemara, as we already discussed. It's interesting the way the Gemara, again, presents it. If we're talking about Chulin Maila Memra, with a little bit of a, an exclamation point, it's an aggressive way for the Gemara to say, what's this got to do with anything? The impression you get just from this Gemara would be that, that Tumah and Tara has nothing to do with Chulin. It doesn't have to be read that way. You could be, understand it in a more specific and more moderate way, namely that, with regard to having any consequence, specifically in Shechitas for Chulin, there doesn't seem to be any issue or any problem, because there's no Surim involved, because there's no Shmira involved. We'll get to all that in just a second. That's all the Gemara means. But I'm just saying the language, Maila Memra, sounds like it sounds a little more aggressive, a little more dismissive, more like Mehetesi, you know, what's chulin got to do with tahara? Okay. And again, the point being that you really want to do, we're not going to be able to do because we don't have so much time, but you really want to scour, you know, Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat Pan, you know, the Rishonim and the Poskim, you know, to try to see, really, whether or not, these categories are so fixed as they sometimes see. Like, is it really, mutually exclusive to speak about chulin, and tahar? And that's why, again, the point counterpoint, the language of the Gemara, which is a little, I wouldn't say excessive, but sharp. And then Tosus's whole discussion here, which we already mentioned, Afagav the Osir Ligrom Tuma Lechulin Sheberet. So something Tosus is like pushing back right away. Like, what's so terrible? Now again, we're not talking about us. You know, the question whether you are or not allowed to be gorim. Not necessarily talking about that right here, but I think Tosus is responding more to the language, right? Hanadafka the Peros, and then what about which is a really striking thing. So basically what I'm saying is there are two ways to look at the Gemara, there are two ways to look at Tosafot. You can look at it narrowly, that we're talking about this particular case, and we're just trying to figure out, is there a problem here, is there not a problem here? And then Tosafot is saying, well, maybe there's a problem of being Gorin Latuma, Beretz Yisrael, or maybe you're afraid you're going to end up eating it, based on the language, and other things, is this about like a bigger, is understood that the Rishonim are zeroing in on this as if it's a bigger question, namely, does the world of Taharos have anything to do with the world of Chulin? And that's really kind of what I was bringing up. So this is an interesting, as I say, problem to look at, globally, because it's, Taharos is one of the, six Sidrei Mishnah. It's a huge, massive, one of the Mikzos HaTorah. It's also just an incredibly practically difficult thing to accomplish. And at the same time, it seems like an incredibly aspirational on the one hand, it colors a little bit, or the orientation of achieving or attaining Tahara, is something that, touches on the goal of being an Oved Hashem in a certain way, this is the question anyway. We know that, this is not an ascetic religion, but it is a religion, basically what we strive for is Avodas Hashem and to be Lifnei Hashem. So the idea of, what role Taharas plays in the broader idea of Avodas Hashem is a critical question. So this line of the Gemara and others like it, again, take the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which is also a very important makar for this. Right, the Gemara there talks about Chayv Adam L'Taher, excuse me, Atzmo Beregel, here on Daf, Yud Zayin, Tez Zayin. So the Gemara has the following interesting shock of the Tariyam, Rabbi Yitzchak. Chayvan al-Mataris Atzma Beregel, Shenemar, B'niv Lassam, Lo Sigau. Tanya Namahachi, B'niv Lassam, Lo Sigau. So again, it's just highlighting, that's what I mean, you have to start with Torah Shabbat Tzav, like always, or at least come back to Torah Shabbat Tzav. The Pasuk, which says, B'niv Lassam, Lo Sigau, in Vayikra, sounds like it's addressed to all of Klal Yisrael. Right, and in all circumstances, sounds like you're not allowed to touch a nevela, of a behema, which is tmeya. So the Gemara says, Yachol Yehu Yisrael Muzarin al maga nevela. Maybe you'd think that this is the case. I mean, kipshuto, kainhu, that what the Torah says, seemingly explicitly, is the is the goal, at least. If it isn't an Iser, at least it's a desirable thing. Talmud Lomar, Emor Lakonim b'nei Aaron muzarin, b'nei Yisrael ein muzarin. Right? V'alo dvarim kal v'chomer. Ma tuma kamura kohanim muzarim, Yisraelim ein muzarim, tuma kala lo kol shekein. Elamat tamadomer benivla sam lo sigahu berega. Okay, so this is a fascinating Gemara. I like to speak about this a lot. I'm not going to speak about it a lot right now, but just like the basic idea or just the basic implication, on the one hand, as I just said, the Gemara highlights that there are at least is a pasuk, and could be there are many more psukim. Again, according to Tosfos here, there's an important Tosfos, this Tosfos Chulin, that's quoted a lot. This idea that, v'hiskadishtem v'yisem kedoshens azar l'bnei Yisrael sheyoklu chuleim betara, you have some psukim, right? V'hiskadishtem v'yisem kedoshens is broad, or v'nitmeisem bum, or, b'nivlasam lo sigo. So you have definitely a bunch of psukim and more in Torah Shebichtav, which seem to be promoting the lifestyle of Tahara, across the board. Not only to Kohanim, not only in the Mikdash, not only in the context of Kodshim. On the other hand, we know that, mostly, Tahara is a requirement, and the dinim of Tahara express themselves when it comes to the Mikdash and Kodshim. And, on one madrega lower than that, the question, by the way, also is, and again, I'm certainly not going to do this now, what is the relationship between the din of Tahara and the Mikdash and Kachin? Is that the same? Do they usually go together? And then one step lower, also intriguing, Truma, right? And then you have Maisa Sheni, Lochalti Ba'uni Mimenu, Lochalti Menu B'Tamei. These are madregos, as we'll soon see, in terms of malos, certainly on the Drabbanan level. But so we know that Maaser Sheni, Truma, Kachim, Mikdash, right, these are all things that that require Tahara. But they're all Chefza Shel Kedusha, albeit different levels. And we certainly know that, mostly, if not all, the Dinim of Tahara are reserved for and connected to, these levels of Kach. Again, all in the same way, or in Madregos, something to think about. So you have these psukim that are seemingly misleading, and you have, the dinim, which are much, much more restrictive. And we could ask about all of them. And then you have this Gemara, which is really intriguing on two levels, because, again, there's an area of Tuma, which applies outside of Kachim, and Mikdash and Truma and Maaser Sheni, and that is Tumas Meis Lekoanim, right? Again, so you could say, well, that's because it's Vikidash, though. So the Kohen himself, is suffused with a certain status of Kedushas Hagavra. Right? Still, that's very different than, the Chefts of the Mikdash or the Chefts of Achilas Kodshim, Truma, and Maaser Sheni. Right? And we're talking about Kedushas Hagavra. And, the whole din of Tumas Kohanim is a very interesting phenomenon because, on the one hand, Nefesh lo yitama ba'amav, the psukim in Emor, and everything that goes along with it, including this Gemara, comparing it to Nevela. On the other hand, in addition to the fact that it extends to Kohanim outside of Tumas, Mikdash, and Kadashav, which still you might have said, well, because Kohanim, that's who they are, they're Miuad to the Mikdash, they have Kedusha Sagavra, but it's more than that. The point is that it applies even in circumstances where there is already Tuma, like we live in times where, everybody's Tmei Meis in one way or another, right? Every Kohen is Tame, right? And yet there's this Kpeda for not to be exposed to Tumas Meis. Moreover, again, this is a big Tumas Meis issue. I guess we'll touch on it for a second in Cherev Kala, but we did talk about it a lot last year, and that is that, is it really a din, this might be part of the solution, it might just be part of the puzzle, we call it Tumas Kohanim, mostly we treat it like Tumas Kohanim, but there are all sorts of evidence, including what I just mentioned, that it's more about the coin's interaction or contact with a mace, with a corpse, you know, which is Avyavos of Tumma, more than it is his contracting Tumma. Right? In both directions, this is not for now, you know, there might be situations where, you know, maybe the circumstances don't really justify the contraction of Tumma fully, according to Dine Tumma, and yet there's an Isra, or vice versa. So, but, and yet it's called Tumma, so, you know, how do we, you know, how do we understand that? Of course, the fact that Nazir also has, you know, a din of Tumas Meis, you know, and a Nazir doesn't have Kedushas Kuna, so what does a Nazir really have, right? Does he have Kedushas Nazirus? What is that? You know, we talked about a little bit, you know, Nazir, you know, Al Rosho. How do you look at Nazir vis-a-vis Kohen? Are there differences between Tumas Meis of Nazir and Kohen in terms of Hutra, Dechuya? Of course, that's a question also in terms of Tumas Kohen in itself. You know, the fact that, you know, he's Mistame, you know, Le Krovav, and the Kohen Gadol, of course, who's Mistame only for the Meis Mitzvah. So, how do you understand these exceptions, and are they Hutra or Dechuya? Do you distinguish between Nazir and Kohen? I'm just throwing out a lot of things. Again, I'm not trying to confuse. I'm just trying to show you that there's like a structure that you could build to try to understand, to try to figure out. The bigger question that I'm after, you know, is not right now to pin down the nature of Tumas, you know, Mace for a Kohen or for a Nazir or for a Kohen Gadol, but to throw them in the mix to try to highlight this bigger question, which is, the three kind of perspectives that I mentioned on Thursday, which are that one is that basically Tahara is a very narrow requirement, you know, for very specific things. Again, and mostly we're going to limit it to, you know, Mikdash, the Kadashav, or again, if you want to say that, you know, the Kahuna and the Nazirus, you know, have to do with this, then you'll say, you know, that they have also Begavra, Kedushas Agavra, you know, and so on and so forth. And according to, the most extreme view of this, what we're really saying is that Tahara is a means to an end. And you can't achieve or you can't execute, you know, Kedusha. Kedusha is tainted by Tumma. So there's no goal of Tahara per se. It's just, again, it's it's a prerequisite, to being involved, to interacting, you know, on a Kedusha level. That's one way to look at things, and then you're going to probably narrow this as much as possible, and certainly in the world of Chulin, you'd be really skeptical or, you know, very prone or likely, you know, to deny any bigger role for Tahara in Chulin. Again, if you want to throw into it, you know, that it's very difficult, that it's aesthetically oriented, you know, maybe that's also a reason to narrow it according to certain, you know, perspectives that might be part of it as well. remember that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that I just quoted, you know, ends up saying that b'nivlasam lo tigo, you know, does refer to the obligation l'taher atzmo berega. So, like, you need to confront that too. But according to, you know, this, I guess, perspective, what you'd certainly be able to say, which most people think is true anyway, even if you take other perspectives, I'll explain in a minute, is that you know, the requirement of Taher Atzmo Beregel is also a very pragmatic, you know, prerequisite kind of a thing, right? I mean, the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Ochron speaks about, I don't think this is what he means, but it's certainly the way that it was often understood. I'll explain in a minute. That, you know, that it's he certainly connects it to the ability to do Aliyah L'Regel, right, to be in the Azara, to bring Karbanos. So Chayav Adam L'Tahar Atzmo V'Regel. And from that point of view, again, so the Psukim sound like, you know, they're bringing the world of Taharos into the world of Kula. It doesn't say it's talking about Regel, you know, but in the end of the day, it's possible to interpret that this is all, you know, just Kodshim or Kodesh related, and maybe, as I said, in a very, even then in a narrow way, just the incompatibility or the prerequisite of one for the other, and then, you know, if you don't have a mikdash, there's no din of latar atzma beregel in any way. You still have to contend with the language of tahara, which also appears in other contexts, and there's an implication that it has a broader idea. Again, you know, with regard to Yom Kippur, you know, kiva yom hazeh yichaper aleichem l'taher eschem, you know, mikol chataseichem l'fnei Hashem titaharu, you know, things like that. Unless you think, again, that that has to do with, you know, the Seirah Mishtaleach, you know, and the Kohen Gadol, or that, you know, sometimes the word tahara doesn't mean tahara in the sense of, you know, the laws of taharos in a very, you know, normative, specific way. You know, but it has a wider idea. It's also possible. Of course, once you begin to say that, you know, it's already a bit of a chink in the armor, you know, of kind of really trying to narrow, you know, tahara. The opposite way to say it is that the opposite perspective is that, no, b'niv lasam lo siga'u, and, you know, the application of tumas meis, you know, to Kohen, even when he isn't otherwise able to achieve tahara. No, that these things are, I mean, it's meisimbam and these kadishtem, you know, that these show that in theory at least, and as an aspiration, and maybe there are even some actual expressions of it, manifestations of it, you know, that, and if not, you know, that maybe they're just overridden for practical reasons, that tahara is a din b'fnei atzmo, and it's a goal of some sort. Again, maybe one to be balanced with other things, or maybe one, you know, which is very prominent. Again, we talked about Rabbeinu Yonah the other day, you know, in Avos, and, you know, Darim, you know, Siag Prisha. Think how Prisha is amazing. We'll talk a little more when we get finish this up about it. Ramam, Chinuch. But, and in terms of the Gemara, for example, so then it's Mesem Bum, so the Gemara is saying practically, you know, there's no din of being Nizar in Tumas Nevela. Right? But, Chayvadam Latayr Atzma Beregel. Oh, so the way I take it is, meaning the to impose on Klal Yisrael, you know, certainly as a norm, maybe even as a l'chatchila, an ideal, you know, that they avoid tumas nevela all year round, you know, is just too draconian. Or, it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a gzeiras ha-Torah she'en ha-tzibur yicholim la'amod bo, or maybe it just interferes too much with other, you know, equally or more important or more pressing values. Like we said, you know, like living in the world, you know, the gashmius parts, which are also very, very critical. And therefore, lemaisa, you know, there's certainly no chiyuv. Maybe there's not even a lechatchila. However, the psukim still reflect, you know, that the concept of tahara is something everybody should be not only familiar with for when you need to apply it, but the yisod of tahara, the ideal of tahara, and, of course, you can't just have an ideal that never gets expressed and manifested. You know, the ability, you know, to actually live it in some circumstances, maybe, you know, rarely, but still occasionally, is something that belongs to every member of Klal Yisrael. So for the Kohanim and for the Mikdash, when it's operating, and for Kachim, it's going on all around, and it's not just a technicality. And it's not just for those people and for that world, because that those people in that world, you know, there's, you know, Shluchei Didan and Shluchei Dirachmana. And again, as I've said in the past, you know, we believe, Halacha believes in spiritual specialization, you know, in giving, you know, different assignment tasks, you know, to different groups in some respects. But that doesn't mean that that specialization implies that it's only, you know, those groups. The point is that those are the group, the idea behind spiritual specialization is that it's better for the world or better for Klal Yisrael if, you know, there are groups, you know, that specialize, you know, in certain areas. And not just l'chatchila in some cases, but the b'di'evet. It's better for the world, you know, if Malchus, you know, is limited to Shevet Yehuda. It's better for the world if Kahuna, it's certainly in the aftermath of the switch from, you know, Bechor to Kohen or Levi, you know, that it's better for there to be a Shavit that specializes, you know, in all of that. But the point of it is that it's still for the sake of all of Klal Yisrael. Right. And therefore it belongs to Klal Yisrael. If you look at the Psukim in Emor, which talk about Kahuna, I think it's the Arachayim there who really, you know, points out that some of the language is intended to highlight, you know, that while we're talking about Kohanim and Kohanim Gedolim, but it's, you know, it's, we're talking about Klal Yisrael's connection to Kohanim and Kohanim Gedolim. I think that part of Birchas Kohanim, again, this is not for now, this is a separate topic, I think that part of Birchas Kohanim is about this question, about the idea that maybe Lemaisa, the Kiyum, you know, of Kahuna is Ayidei Kohanim, but the, you know, it's for the sake of, and it's an expression of Kedushas Klal Yisrael. And that's, you know, that's where you get the kind of the back and forth and the, you know, Amor and, you know, has to be B'Kol Ram, and I don't want to get into it right now. But, yeah. So if you say that, so, you know, so Psukim in the Torah that say like B'Niv L'Sam Lo Tigo or B'Niv Meis, they, at minimum, what they're saying is this all belongs to, it may express itself only to the Kohanim, you know, and even, you know, in certain eras or epochs when there's a Beis HaMikdash and there's Kanshim, you know, but it belongs to everybody. That's what Torah Shabbat Tzav is kind of telling us. But if it also actually is manifest at certain points and times, either as the Chatzchila or B'di'eved, then even better that way. So, Tumas Kohanim or and Nazir are things that are, you know, maybe, I'm not saying if they're not connected to Kedushas Agavra of some sort, but the point is they're appropriate applications of Tahara, but they're also broaden, you know, that anybody can be a Nazir, you know, if it's appropriate for them. And, you know, the Kahuna, Tuma is even when there's no Mikdash and there's no Kachin. But more than that, maybe that's partly the idea of Chayev Adam Lataher Atzmo Regel. Meaning what we're saying is this implication of the Pasuk, which is that there that Tuma and Tahara is relevant to every member of Klal Yisrael all the time. You know, while it's a little misleading because it isn't actually normatively true, but it makes a powerful statement about, you know, what might have been or what is relevant, and it actually expresses itself, you know, now and then, right? So beregel chay v'adam l'tahara satsum beregel. So in the Rambam, in Hilchos Tumas Oklin, you know, talks about chay v'adam l'tahara satsum beregel. You know, he says kedei. What's the language? Anybody have it? What's that? Shinchonim. Yeah, exactly. Likones or right. So I think the Shagasari understood that pragmatically, as I mentioned before. He said, you know, that obviously this is just a prerequisite, you know, for Knisa Lazara. Right, but the language given to Chonim and so on in the Rambam, in my opinion, makes it difficult. Moreover, he speaks about it in Tumas Oklin. I think that's very significant. So the way I understand it is, and of course there is evidence in some of the Rishonim already, which is what Chagasari is really speaking about, like, is there a din of Chai Vadim Atar Satsmo Beregel Bezman Azeh? Is there a din of Chai Vadim Atar Satsmo, you know, Beregel on Rosh Hashanah where there's no Aliyah L'Regel? Right, those are things that Chagasari is discussing. It comes from the Rapsajigon and the Rush. Again, I don't want to get into the whole thing right now, but like, it's an interesting discussion. So, like, mostly they're saying, you know, low plug, you know, whatever, but really this is a mikdash thing. But I think what the Rambam means, he uses the same expression, as I've noted in the past, of yu nechonim, when he talks about the mikdash itself, you know, as being a place which is, you know, nechonim or muchan, you know, lahakriv karbanos. Many people understand that the Rambam thinks that the mikdash is a, like a means to an end. You know, that unlike the Ramban, who thinks in many, many places, you know, in Truma, and in the Akdamah Shmos, and especially in the Akdamah Tevayikra, and other places, you know, the Ramban always has this very fascinating view that the Ramban's view is that the Mikdash is like a kind of an encapsulation of the place and the experience of Maimed Har Sinai. Okay. Meaning it's a Makom Kadosh, it's a Makom of Ashras Hashvita. So a lot of people kind of contrast that with the Rambam, who in the beginning of Sabesa Bechira, you know, says that the Mikdash is the place for bringing Karbanos. And I think there is something to it, but I think it's way too extreme. What I really think is going on in the Rambam, who counts the structures of the Mikdash, and the Kalim of the Mikdash, I think the Rambam also thinks that the place is Ikar. Look at the Rambam, look at Malachim, and Sabesa Bechira. Again, I don't want to... keep saying that, but I'm not going to go into detail. But what I'm trying to say is that Ram also used the expression there, kind of the same kind of expression. In my opinion, in both cases, what he really means is it's a shiur it's not a pragmatic thing. In other words, you need a place to bring karbanos, you have to build a base on mikvah. I think there's too much evidence and it's much more than that. Or, you have to go to the Azara and you're not a Kohen, and therefore you're constantly exposed to a life, in your life to Tumas Agavra. So, Chayv Adam Mataris Atzmo Beregel. What I really think he means is, the Regel is a time, the fact that you have a L'chatchila to go to the Azara, shows you that the Regel is a time to manifest a certain higher standard of behavior. Which, again, maybe you can't pull off all year, or maybe it's counterproductive to ask you to because it comes too much at the expense of other things. And therefore, the expression of Tahara, is limited to Regel. But maybe it isn't Regel per se. And what Rama means is Kadei, Nachon Lios means a person on the Regel should be somebody, whose spiritual focus and state of mind is one which is consistent with Knisa Lazar. Therefore, even if he can't, there's a din of chayav adam matar satzim breg. Or maybe there's you can't achieve tahara b'zman hazeh because everybody's tamei tumas meis. But is there some inyan to try, or to do the best you can, or symbolically? So those kind, and then v'nit meisim bum, and these other, even the Easter, we'll discuss a little more when we finish up on Thursday with this, but Even the Yisrael Tamei, Taharos, and even if it's limited to Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't have to be purely pragmatic. It might be. In other words, a Trumas Maestros and so on. But it also might be a shiur in the acuteness of the, what's repugnant about Tuma, in certain contexts, or at least the ideal of identifying with Tahara. So this idea that there are expressions, and that's what Torah Shabbat is written in a way to tell you that on some level, that lo sigo in the Vela is something that applies to Klal Yisrael too. Yeah.
Yeah, it just makes a lot of sense that this Rambam would think that it's more intrinsic.
Yeah.
The one in the bay is where he emphasizes its value for the chassidim and the shohanim.
Yeah.
And if he thinks that that's true and there is some intrinsic value to that, so then that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So they're having the chonim.
Yeah, it'd be strange to think that the Rambam thinks that for chassidim and shohanim there's this value in each one of the Torah and then say that the whole din regel is
practical thing. Yeah. Right, exactly. So, and he does think, and that's one of the things I wanted to point out, that, not just because the company is good, but because it's something intrinsically. And again, the whole Rambam about Tahara Salev that we've been discussing, in different contexts. Again, the language of Tahar, the Rambam at the end of Mikvot, so he talks about Tevila B'nei Hadas. Getting back to, the relationship between, we've been talking about, of course, about Shkidas Kul and Shkidas Kachim, but Tahara, of Kachim and Taharos, and the Tahara Labala, right? That's a big, Huksak. I think I mentioned already that, the Rambam you know, when he talks about, of course, that's an interesting question in general in terms of nida, right? The dine nida and so on, you know, have a anishas, you know, element, of course, and at the same time, there's a tahar element. There is a big discussion already in the Rishonim and then later in the Akronim, you know, what the relationship between those two things are and the ability to separate them. Having said that, the idea that they're also on some level connected is very compelling. And I'd say the Rambam, when he talks about Kabana and Tahara Labala, Kuchsak, that whole business, he first makes it seem that there's a requirement of Kabana, I've mentioned this already, you know, across the board in Tefillah B'Mikvah. And then he says, but, you know, Labala, it's not Ma'akev. And instead of just saying, which, you know, he should have said if this is what he meant, you know, there's a din of Kavana when it comes to Tahara, you know, but not when there's a din, nothing, but there's just a Maisa Tevila when it comes to, you know, to Heter Isha Labala. But he doesn't say it that way. He makes it sound like everything is the same. And then afterwards he says, oh, Bamedvar Mamurim, that this is, you know, Ma'akev, you know, so, and I think he does that intentionally. So this question of, again, all these topics are different topics, but Tumas, you know, Isha and Yoledes and all of these things, all of these are part of this big, big idea. So then you're kind of looking for how can you express, or Yom Kippur I mentioned before, you know, which anyways, Achas B'Shana, I've always tried to emphasize, a day of Kulal Hashem, and a day of like establishing a certain capacity for asceticism, you know, but, you know, not self-abnegation so much, but, you know, again, a purely spiritual focus and the capacity to pull that off, you know, that's the day of Tahara. That's the day, you know, Kiba Yomazay Chaperlech and the Tahara Skam, Mikol Chaposech, and Lefne Hashem, Titaru. Benny Yonah says that, you know, Lefne Hashem Titaru is the special key of Tshuva on Yom Kippur. All right, so the point is that, you know, whether it's technical Tahara or it's this idea of Tahara Salev and what it overlaps with, a lot of this perspective, instead of saying, oh, that's a Melitza, which might be the other perspective, doesn't mean this in exactly that way. Certainly there are differences, but that's the other extreme. The other extreme is that really Tahara is a certain value, you know, an important value. In the world of, the way to say it, I think, it's in the world of Kadshim and the Mikdash and so on, you know, that's when it's always manifest. And it's manifest there, not as a technicality, you know, or some arcane, you know, elite. No, that it's manifest there always for all of Klal Yisrael, you know, and, you know, and again, you know, that's fine. That's very typical in the world of halacha to be so specialized in that way. However, A, it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael by virtue of the fact that it belongs to those elite moments and people and circumstances. But there are also manifestations that apply to Klal Yisrael itself. You know, and that's implied by Torah Shebetzav, and it's expressed, you know, beregel, you know, maybe in the overlap, you know, of tevila, you know, when you have in the tilas yadayim, you know, perhaps, you know, as a way in the Isra of Balkari, you know, again, these things could be understood differently. You have to take on each one, you know, but in the broader sense. And then, of course, the middle position would be that that no, it's not a technicality in the world of Kachin, but it's also not that there's, you know, mostly this bigger idea in the world of Kulin. In the world of Kachim, you have this kind of convergence, you know, of Kedusha and Tahara. Even then you need to understand what they are, but and what they, you know, are about. But Kedusha has different levels, Tahara, I don't want to get into it right now. But the, meaning it belongs to the world of Kachim, but it doesn't belong there only as a technical, you know, kind of extraneous requirement. Again, you could have said the whole Tahara is about Prisha, but it sounds like it's much more. Okay, so these are three levels. So how does this express itself in terms of Beregel, in terms of things like Yom Kippur, as I said, in terms of ever, you know, being Tovel, you know, and even being Tovel Abala, you know, in those contexts of Keri and so on. How does it express itself in terms of the Iser Latame Ochlim Chulin? That's an interesting question. So again, on a pragmatic level, like maybe that's what Tosis really means, you know, Eretz Yisrael, Bechutz Laretz, you know, Peros and not Basar, you know, no, it's just like a Heksher for Truman Samaisros. That's certainly the way it sounds. But you wonder whether you can't also suggest that, you know, these distinctions, you know, in addition to being pragmatic, are also fundamental. You know, the idea of Tahara in Eretz Yisrael, you know, especially in something which also has other expressions of Kedusha, like Peros that are subject to Trumas and Maisros, so then the Chalos of Tahara in its own right, in this place for these things, you know, becomes more meaningful. Again, I'm not blind to the fact that the more pragmatic approach is the way that most people understand it. I'm just pointing out that there is another way to look at it, which I think is very compelling. So what about, again, the Isur, you know, Lechol, or Latame Oakland, or Lechol Oakland? There's a whole discussion whether or not Tumas Gvia, you know, is the Raisa or Drabanon, the person eating Tuma, you know, a certain amount of becoming Tame. Is that a Dindarais or Dindarabanan? And there's a secondary debate, you know, whether or not, you know, there being some sort of an Isur Lechol Tuma is connected to the question whether the Gabra becomes Tame Minatora, you know, or not. An interesting question in both directions. Again, so if you say, you know, that it's all consequence-oriented, you know, it's all about, you know, different Chashashos, you know, that's one way to understand the Kliya. It could also be a Shiur. In other words, if it's going to make you, you know, a Gabra Tame, that shows it's a kind of a Chalos, you know, and that there's this Chalos idea of Tahara, you know, across the board, and therefore it's something you shouldn't be doing. Okay. So again, I'm skating across, you know, so many different topics, but and each one really deserves its own analysis. But you get the general, or at least hopefully, like the basic idea. Namely, that I'm suggesting that there are three ways to look at all this. One is in the narrowest way, you know, Tahara as a prerequisite, as a requirement, you know, of something very specific and very, very limited. The other, you know, being very expansive and very relevant. You know, although again, Lemaisa being more still very limited, but there being, you know, all sorts of maybe beneath our radar screen or our consciousness often, but there being all sorts of, you know, applications or expressions of Tahara, even in, you know, in the world of Chulin, you know, both time-wise, chepta-wise, et cetera, even food chulin-wise, et cetera. Or this kind of middle idea, and that is that Tahara really is, you know, limited mostly to the world of Kedusha and Kadshim. But in that world, it isn't just a technical requirement. It's on the contrary, it's a manifestation of Tahara. And then there's an interesting question generally, what is the difference between Kedusha and Tahara, something which, again, have the opportunity to speak about other times. So our topic here is our Gemara here is important, as is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and other Gemaras. This Tosis is very important. Again, there's that Yerushalmi. I'll talk about a few other things. You know, this idea that even though you're not supposed to be, or you're not obligated to be, or maybe it's not even an aspiration to be, you know, Nizhar on Achilas, you know, Tahara all the time. This is Yerushalmi, you know, in Shabbos, that, you know, at least for 7 days, you know, you should be a Shomer, you know, B'Tahara. And again, why 7 days? I guess, you know, a week is a unit. You know, you know, 7 days is a unit of time in general, you know, for Shabbos, for Yom Tovim. So it's like, you know, you can't do this all year round. You know, there's Yom Kippur, that's certainly a unit, Achas B'Shana, and there's also like a concentric circle around that. There's a week. Again, the Rishonim, many of them said, that week is actually, right, the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, right, which actually, the connection between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And then it got expressed in different ways. We all know this in terms of like Bishalakum and other things to be machmir for, you know, but the original comes from that Yerushalmi, which speaks about being Nizhar on Tahara. It doesn't say anything about Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. That was just the, and the Chachmei Ashkenaz had that Mesorah, and that's how they applied it. I think that's an amazing thing. But, what did it mean? You know, you take a step back and you think, you know, it sounds a little bit, you know, hypocritical. Like, you know, what are you trying to prove for 7 days? You know, and especially, you know, in the context of Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. Like, you know, this is, you know, who you are and you deserve these skuyos. What about the other 49, you know, weeks or 51 or whatever it is, weeks in the year? Which is why, you know, some of the Rishonim say, you know, again, we don't do it so much anymore in Tahara, we do it in other things, but they say don't do it in something which is more substantive or which people think, you know, is really more obligatory, right? Like, there were those who said, oh, we'll be Nizar in the Isar of Chodesh, you know, Ben Rosh Hashanah Liyom, Ben Kesel Liyosar. But some of the Rishonim said, don't do that, because then, you know, that's a serious question. That's not chumrah, right? Either you're obligated or you're not, but if you're really obligated, that's a massive machlokas on Rishonim about, you know, about Chodesh B'Chutz La'aretz. So then it's like, you know, they don't say it this way, but this is kind of what it gets down to, you know. It's just highlighting your hypocrisy or your deficiency. Like, you can do it this week, but then, you know, the day after Yom Kippur, it's like, you know, back to, you know. But if you do it on something which is an acknowledged chumrah, you know, but not a chiyuv, and not an iser, so their idea is, no, like, what you're trying to say is, listen, I you know, this is who I am, and this is what I'm capable of, and I understand that there's a lekatchila, you know, to aspire to a higher standard, right? During the year, it's either, you know, again, a gzeirah, you know, yesher lamod bo, or, I prefer to think of it this way, something that, you know, you pay too high a price for, given other spiritual obligations. In other words, there's a benefit to interacting, you know, with society, and the nitty-gritty of society, and, you know, and so on and so forth, lechatchila, as a religious obligation. So if you can, you know, establish your credentials, you know, then you can do that. But then you don't want to do it in Chodesh. So what I'm trying to say is, so, but this all comes from, that whole discussion is all from that Yerushalmi in Shabbos about being Nizar in Tahara. That's an amazing thing. Right? Natan knocked on my door before this year to remind me that, you know, those who say that, you know, it's Parshas HaShavua, that Avraham Avinu was part of the whole discussion within Malachim and so on, and beginning of Vayera, was that he was Nizar, you know, in Chulin, you know, Altaras HaKodesh. So, yeah, pretty, that's from the beginning, right? Pretty beginning. So I think these are basically three, again, broadly speaking, approaches. Again, you have to analyze, you know, each of the applications. I'm just throwing out a lot at you, you know, just because I want to get move quickly. I do think there are many chilukim that are reasonable here, between the mikdash and kachim and different kinds of kachim and truma and maaser sheni and so on, and even between kohen gadol and kohen and nazir, you know, and regel and, you know, tuma etzvila, you know, and keri. But I think these are all, they're all touching on the same question, and these three broad approaches. So, in addition to what we have here in Tulsa, I'll probably just speak a little bit more detail when we sum up on Thursday. I'm hoping not to go beyond that. So that's one whole question. The more specific question, which we want to deal with, is the Chulin al Taharas HaKodesh itself. So when Kurta said that Chulin al Taharas HaKodesh has nothing to do with any of this, right? Because, no, it's more about, and this is the question, you know, it's, again, more very pragmatic, like if you want to, it's an exercise, it's a an orientation, right? If you want to make sure, you know, that when you eat your Maaser Sheni, you know, that it's, l'chalti mimena b'tameh, or your Truma, even more so, or even more so your Kachim, you know, what you're allowed to eat from Kachim, or if it's Kohanim, you know, and they live in this world all the time. So, you know, the being in the shvunk, as they say, you know, in the momentum, in the pathway of Tahara is a good thing, you know. So that's what, you know, being Makabel, you know, to eat Chulin al Taharas HaKodesh is all about. So it's a very, you know, it's an exercise. It's about discipline. It's about practice, etc. Imagine trying to, like, you know, throw yourself fully into the, you know, arcane, you know, an extremely challenging, you know, world of Tahara, you know, without practice or going in and out of it. So if you're going in it, then probably it pays, you know, never to be fully out of it, frankly. That's one way to look at the sugya, for sure. And that's what it sounds like in some Rashis. You know, Rogil Lechol, you know, B'Tahara. That doesn't have necessarily anything to do with anything that I've been talking about, which is, you know, whether there's some chalos or some value or some... however, I say there may, you know, it could be that, you know, whatever the motivation is, that the chalos of Tahara, of Tumar, of Chulin, rather, Al Taharas HaKodesh, is a status, and that status could only exist if there really was a recognition, you know, that that Taharos, you know, had a wider application, and even in the world of Chulin. If we find that Chulin Al Taharas HaKodesh, you know, whether according to the Mandamar is Kekodesh, or the Mandamar that it's not Kekodesh, get to that in just a second, if we find that, you know, it takes on or assumes a life of its own in terms of status, then the likelihood, you know, that this is a category, you know, and not just an exercise, becomes much greater. Okay, so in the sugya, it's, you know, it's fascinating that the Gemara, you know, thinks that it depends on the machlok, on this machlokas. So the Gemara here talks about being shochet chulin when you're tamei, you know, with a sakin aroch, with a long sakin. That triggered a lot of other discussions that we'll get to. And the Gemara here on Beis and Beis suggests that's the pshat in the Mishnah. And then Gimel and Beis, as we already discussed, the Gemara suggests that you know, that one of the reasons maybe not to agree with that is if you hold that chulin Nasu al Taharas HaKodesh, lav kekodesh dam. That's the line here. Gimel of Beis. So the Gemara says, "B'hoch aydei d'tani tami b'chulin tani dami tami b'kdashin tami b'chulin gufelo itzrichle chulin shenasu al Taharas HaKodesh lav kekodesh dam." Okay, that's one of the days. Interesting. Ramban initially was troubled by this, right? You know, does this question necessarily have to do with the machlokas, whether chulin shenasu al Taharas HaKodesh is kekodesh or not? We'll see why in just a sec. But the Gemara does say that it depends on that. So it triggers a little bit of our attention. Like, what do we mean by chulin shenasu al Taharas HaKodesh? And again, is it just, you know, an exercise? In which case, it's a nihu gagabra, we'll call it. Right, it's just, you know, behaving in a certain way, or does the chulin get treated kind of as a cheftza shel kedusha? And even if that's the case, it can still be part of the exercise. You know, to be a good exercise or a good simulation, you have to be consistent. But are there also indications, the chulin l'chumra, ironically, that again this has really a kind of objective status of kedusha or less kedusha in its own right? So before we get to that, I just wanted to get to just take care of another question, which I've been alluding to very quickly, and that is the question that the Rishonim ask, because this is important. For you have to read the second Ramban maybe a little bit before you read the first Ramban? Yeah. Yeah? What do you think, Alex? Not always the case. I mean, here. Okay, so what's the question of the second Ramban? Ronnie? What's that?
The one about the Azara?
Yeah. So the Rishonim are troubled here because the Gemara says what? Let's talk about this. This is a little bit to whatever, but it's important to get out of the way first, or not getting out of the way because it's so good. But what does the Gemara say here? That the we're talking about a situation where a tame is shochet, right? Kulin al taras hakodesh, or as opposed to, you know, it might be the seifa, which is a tame is shochet kodesh. And he's doing it with a long knife, right? And the Gemara says, well, if he says, you know, barali shalo nagati bo, right, then that would be okay. Correct? Yeah. And then the Gemara says, like, you know, what happens if he's leisa kamon de neshayle? Right? Okay. So what's it supposed to say? The leisa kamon de neshayle?
Public of desert throughout me.
Yeah. Period. Okay. So what's the question? What's the two answers? The Gemara seems to say the leisa kamon de neshayle would be a problem, and therefore we would be posel in the case of kadshim, certainly, right? The question is, why would you? It's a safek, right? And it's safek tuma brishus harabim, which is tah. So the second answer of Tosas is, you know, it's not brishus harabim. Maybe we're talking about a bama, and the azara is brishus harabim, but the, you know, the location in the bama isn't necessarily brishus harabim. Okay, that's an easy one. I mean, that's a practical answer. The first answer of Tosas is very important.
Like a rule.
Yeah, Tulsa says, this din of Safek Tumah Brishus Harabim, Tahar, right, isn't an absolute, right? You won't say it in all cases. And therefore, if there's a strong rove, Le Chumra, meaning Le Tame, then you won't apply the din of Safek Tumah Brishus Harabim, Tah. Okay? That's not so obvious, and really touches on a big question, which we're not going to go into, but I'm just going to mention. Both with regard to Safek Tumah Brishus Harabim, I will get to this later, as we go through some Rove and Chazaka issues, it'll come up again. But Safek Tumah Brishus Harabim, Tahar, Safek Tumah Brishus Hayachid, Tamei, each one separately, you know, there is this issue in question. And that is, you know, how absolute are those categories, and to what extent do they defy or override the normal klalim of sfeikos, right? So when it comes to regular sfeikos, again, safek, you know, doraisa, you know, lechumra, and as we already discussed, that's the debate between the Rambam and other Rishonim, and the question is how many people side with the Rambam. There are also some exceptions in the Rambam, but whether that's lekula, whether that's lechumra, doraisa, drabana, most people think doraisa. Okay, some steikos are daraisa lechumra, even according to the Rambam, Hashem Talui, and things, ikra isura, and those kind of things, but whatever. Right? And then we also know that there are things like rov, and that's what we're going to be discussing that a lot going forward. Right? Rov mitzvah yetzah shechita mumkenein, and other such things, and the sugya later on, and daf yud and yud aleph, but, you know, the mocker of chazakos, and so on, and roves. So there's a way to be machriya, or to be mevarer, sveikos. And yet there's this cloud of safek, tumah, all of a sudden you get location, which seems to have nothing to do with anything, substantively. Suffolk Tumper Shus HaRab in Tahar, Suffolk Tumper Shus HaYachid Tameh. We learn it from the Sugya of Sota, right, or other things. And, you know, that kind of is a special din, Hilchos HaGemiri La, the Gemara says. So, to what extent does it override and defy other Klalei HaKrai? It has to override and defy them somewhat, otherwise there wouldn't be such a principle, right? Dal, Suffolk Tumper Shus HaRabim, Suffolk Tumper Shus HaYachid Mehacha, and just, you know, apply the regular klal. So clearly, these are dinim, you know, which override. But that doesn't mean that they override in all circumstances, does it? That's a big debate. Part of this debate is also a debate, and this goes in both directions. When we say Suffolk Tumper Shus HaRabim Tahar, Suffolk Tumper Shus HaYachid Tameh, right? Again, let me make clear. The question that I'm raising now, which is the question, meaning, you know, how much does that override the regular dinim of Birur Sfeikos? It's a question that we ask for both, because these are both dinim, but the answer, of course, might be different for each, right, in either direction. That is, Suffolk Tuma versus Hayakin versus Rabin the same, and whatever overriding they do, you know, whether it's massive or moderate, it's massive and moderate for both, or are we mechalik? That's also a question. We'll see a little echo of it in a second, you know, in the discussion of the Ramban. Part of this question also relates to another question, whose relationship for the first question is a little complicated, and not my fault, and that is, when we say, this is true in general, when we were Mevarer Sfeikos or Machriya Sfeikos, maybe those two Lashonos of the Ikar, when we have a Suffolk and we resolve, you know, the Suffolk halachically, normatively, right, there are always, you know, two or three ways to understand that. One way is that I'll say three, because I believe there are three. One way is that we're Mevarer the Suffolk, meaning we're confident, not infallibly, right, but confidently, we feel like we have the means, right, to solve this conundrum or to move forward with confidence that we have gotten to the root of the problem and that we have, you know, come to a factually acceptable solution. We'll call that, for the moment, Birur. Right. Then there's something called Hakra. I don't even use these terms, but they use them in different ways sometimes, which is more like we're not really sure that we have solved this problem, right? But the Torah gave us mechanisms to move forward and not to be paralyzed. And therefore, we are invoking those in the authority of the Torah, which is an Isur Torah or a Safek Torah, so the Torah gets to solve and resolve these problems. And this is the method or the mechanism, but we're not really any more confident or certain. Now, again, that can take two forms. One can be that, you know, this is more of a kind of, like, we're really at a loss. We have no clue. Maybe even the method of resolution is something which, you know, substantively, you know, has very little to do or nothing to do, you know, with the resolution itself. Or, and I'll explain this completely in a minute, or, you know, we're not confident in this case that we've solved the problem and that there is no problem, but we do think that we have, you know, not also taken an arbitrary, even a halachically mandated arbitrary solution either. You know, but that, you know, what we did was a reasonable projection. Okay. In other words, let's say it this way. There are, this will help us down the line, or down the road. There are stakeholders that arise, and then once you analyze them, you can be so confident, you know, that, again, not infallible, not possible that you have an issue or a problem or that you have a contrary solution, but the the factors are so compelling that you feel like not only have you resolved the problem, but you've eliminated the suffix entirely. What the Rav used to say, there's no leda for suffix. That's what the Rav used to equate birur and lack of leda for suffix. This will be important for our Roman Tzuyinei Shechita discussion, not right now, but I'll just mention it right now. I think that lack of leda for suffix is a certain level of birur, you know, which is a very high threshold and different than other birur. The next level is not you've eliminated the question satisfactorily. In other words, like, you know, this is not something to be concerned about. It's not on our radar screen. Having assessed, you know, the problem anew, right, the factors, you know, lekula or lechumra are just so compelling that we dismiss this question. We don't take it seriously anymore. That could be about percentages. It could be other things. Okay. The next one is we feel that we have been mabarer, you know, likely we have been mevarer this particular case, you know, satisfactorily. Doesn't mean that the question is gone or the suffix is gone. It means that we have a satisfactory, specific solution to the problem. Okay? I call that a birur. And I think that's different than, you know, I'm just making up the terminologist. It's important, I think, to have the categories. I think it's a little different than saying there's no latest or suffix. Okay. The third level is to say, well, we're not so confident. You know, this could be, in many cases, it's about the numbers, but as we'll see going forward in the year, in some cases, it's about other factors, too, the nature of the factors. But it's easier, of course, to understand this in the number. If it's 90-10 or 95-5, so we say, you know, we're not worrying about that. And when you cross the street, you know, I always like to add, if you're not a brisker, you know, so you don't think, like, what is the likelihood of my getting to the other side? Not Queens Boulevard, either. Okay? Other streets. You say, you know, accidents happen, tragic accidents, terrible things. You know, but prospectively, when somebody crosses the street, he doesn't say, ah, you know, I've got, my chances are 98.6. Right? That's not the way people think. Right? Hopefully. Unless you're brisker. They have certain, you know, paranoia. But, there's no latest suffix in retrospect. Other cases, you feel like, you know, the factors are solving this problem. The third level is, as far as this particular issue is concerned, you know, you're not confident so much that you've solved this particular issue 100%. Right? But you're also not proceeding, you know, arbitrarily. Like, the method that you're using is a method, you know, that in bigger numbers or universally, you know, is weighted to the solution. So while you're not making any claim for this particular, you know, case, it isn't arbitrary either. That's a form of akhra. And then there's a fourth level in which you're saying, I don't even have that. But the Torah said that this is a method of akhra. Like, sfeika drabanan lekula, especially if you don't interpret it as, you know, kahai gavna lo tiknu, which you might, the fact that something is deraisa drabanan doesn't change the likelihood of what happened. But if you're trying to resolve, you know, or reconstruct what likely took place here, drabanan deraisa is not a fact. Similarly, mostly, when we talk about Safek Tumah b'Rishus HaRabim and Safek Tumah b'Rishus HaYachid, right, where the Safek is connected to or where it took place, according to, again, I'm not saying this is true for everyone, the Pashtus has nothing to do with the likelihood of its resolution. It's a more halachic resolution. Oh. So when you have that halachic resolution, there's an interesting other question, and that is part of the halachic resolution, right, to then project that this is the proper solution and that this is therefore the reconstructed scenario, and consistently that's part of what you're doing? I'll explain in a second. Or are you acknowledging, you know, that on the metzius level we have no clue, but al pidin, this is a din. So it's a din solution, not a reconstructed, even as applied, practical solution. In other words, when I say Suffolk Tum Brishus Arabim Tahar, does that also carry other implications about how, you know, whether this woman was in fact Mazana or not, or whether this, Suffolk Tuma, took place or not. If there are other spillover implications to reconstructing the case, right, is that included in the resolution or not? That's a question about L'chumra and Suffolk Tumah B'Shus HaYachid Tameh, and that's a question with Kula in Suffolk Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Tahar. Many of the Achronim, including Reb Chaim, think that that is a major debate, between, let's say, Balei Tosus and the Rambam. That the Rambam is of the opinion that the din, let's say, of Suffolk Tumah B'Shus HaRabim, B'Shus HaYachid, at least one, is more of a din, but you don't have to be consistent in terms of reconstructing, if this is a din, then obviously this is what happened and that didn't happen. You don't have to do that. It's just a din. It's a achra in that respect. Whereas the Balei Tosfos usually think that this din carries with it a projection of what it is that took place. But the truth is, you might be mechalek, and this is not for now, between Suffolk Tum B'Shus HaRabim and Suffolk Tum B'Shus HaYachid. Anyway, why am I telling you all this? So in Tosis, the first answer, basically, it's a part of what's going on here is, number one, when we say this din, how much of it is a din, and how much is it override of other sveikos, of other factors? The more you think that it's a din, in a way, the easier it is to kind of ignore the other factors. Ironically, right? You might have, intuitively, you might have thought, right, that, if it's a reconstruction, then that means that Suffolk Tumah B'Shus HaRabim, Suffolk Tumah B'Shus HaYachid, one or the other, is more ambitious, because we're not only saying Tahar and Tameh, we're saying Tahar and Tameh, and this is what we think historically took place here, Alpidin. And therefore, if it's stronger, it can override, even other factors. But if you say it's only a din, you're acknowledging that you don't really know what happened here, maybe that's, a limiting factor, and therefore it makes it more vulnerable, to not being able to override other factors. But in fact, again, it's a complicated question. In fact, probably the opposite is the case. In other words, the more you think that you have to, or that this din reconstructs, the more problematic opposing compelling evidence is. And the more you think that this is a din Torah, means we don't know whether this thing is Tameh or Tahar, but the Torah said, in this circumstance, there's no din tuma, or there's no din tahara, right? Then, on the contrary, then maybe it's more powerful, and it's just like it's not reconstructing what's happening, it doesn't really care about what's happening. So if you look at it from a weaker, stronger point of view, it's really very much an open question. Anyway, so these 2 days in Tosis here, whether or not, you override, a strong rove, to say Suffolk Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Tahar or not, is a major machlokas over Rishonim. And it could be that this is mostly actually L'shitaso of Balei Tosfos who think that Suffolk Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Tahar, or the opposite, are also reconstructions, not of likelihood, but of din. And therefore, in a way, ironically, they're more vulnerable, as I say, to other factors as well. Whereas, for Rishonim like the Rambam, that it's more clearly a din and not a reconstruction, you might not hold that way. Either way, that's Tosfos's view. The Ramban, I have to stop in 5 minutes. What does Ramban say about this, Alex? The second Ramban, right? I mean, the Ramban on this. Yeah. Go ahead.
Said that it has to be a case
same question, right? Ika de kasha. Lama li bari ki misapka le na mishkitas ha shera, because the azar is rishus harabim. Mikivin shekain, suffik tam rishus harabim, tahar. And therefore, chilesa gaban de lashari na mi lama li akerim roin osa. Right. So, v'nichale, go ahead.
So, given the shachar, ikra of lime without rishus harabim.
That's like the first day of Tosfos. Okay. What's the Raya? This is a little bit curious. The Raya is from the Sugya in Psachim, Tesamid Aleph. What's that Raya from? That's a case of what? Savitum Rishus Arabim? What? You don't understand it. Shaisat? What's that? Yeah. Psachim. You're one of our Psachim people, yeah.
You got like a color.
What is that? What case is that? That Safik Tum Rishus Aram and Tahar?
So, I mean, it sounds like he's standing.
The guy's standing over a boar, right? The Hitzitz Bo Leidem Zachar and Akeva. The Bamais of Nechacham Yutiaru. The Pnei, Shechulu Bardalos Mitsuyin Shah. Right? So, therefore, it probably ate it up. So the Gemara asks, Ain Safik Motsu, they read the Ramban, Ain Safik Motsu Bidei Badai. Rufarkinan Shema Ruach Hipila. Right? B'hacha, b'rishus ha-yachid, who the gabi miduros goyim misna b'tosef to the olos, right? Adi, b'rishus ha-ram, sveiko tahar, kimshu, b'rishus ha-yachid, kol sveikos, sveikos, nami, tmein. Now, what's striking about it is the raya is being brought, not from Safek Tom, b'rishus ha-rabim, tahar, right? But what happens when you meet up with other, you know, Mevararim or Machriim, but from Safek Tumah Brishus Hayachid Tamei, correct? So as I said before, if the assumption here is that what's true for one is true for the other in this question, or that Kol Shuke, but one might have said that it's a different, right, Tahara and Tumah, Rishus Harab and Rishus Hayachid, the question applies to both, but maybe they play out differently. Okay? Yeah. So what's the point? Alakivin shu safek haragil tolin lahakel. So what does the Ramban say? The kol shekain, right, lahachmir, tolin bedavra haragil. Now you have to look at the Tosfos in different places. This is what the Ramban is quoting. Meaning, this question, whether or not safek tum b'rishus harabim and b'rishus hayachid, these dinim, right, are limited by, right, other factors, he's assuming if you say it, the limitation, if you're limiting the chumra, meaning Safek Tum Rishus HaYachid Tamei, then Kol Shekein you're going to limit the Kula. Safek Tum Rishus HaRabim Toh. Correct? But the Ramban doesn't like it for this very reason. Not because of the equation, but because of the... Is that Pirish? Go ahead. Yeah, let's have it.
Yeah.
Number one, this is B'dyevet. Okay. The ode...
Yep.
Here's exactly the machlokas. Ramban says, I don't agree with the Bali Tosis that Safek Tumah Brishus Harabim Tahar is overridden by other factors. Because if there was Raglayim Ladabar, if you're going to apply other factors, what do you need to hold in of Safek Tumah Brishus Harabim for to begin with? Right? Of course, there's a happy medium between those two things. But the Ramban, obviously, here, at least, is assuming that this is a din. And therefore, does not make any projections. Part of that means ignoring, it doesn't just mean neutral evidence, it even means overriding evidence. That's part of its hilchasa. Very big kiddush. Dilav hachi, mishim hamid davar al cheskasa utahar. What do you need safek tum b'rishus harabim? That doesn't mean that it's all-powerful and overrides anything, does it? According to him, it does. Okay, go ahead. Ella, I'm sorry. The ikamandamat mitare tzacha, given the shachet command, the vadai noga dami, even he is willing to distinguish between a rov and a vadai. But the vadai here isn't vadai, you understand. It's a, such a strong rov, this is again a little glimpse into what we're going to discuss much later on, that there's no leita tasafek. I mean, a rov on the vare, not just a rov on machriya. So the Ramban himself, you have the balitosis, you have the discussion about Rishus Yaakov, Rishus Rabbim in either direction. And then in addition to that, interestingly enough, you have this question, you know, whether you're machalik them, of whether or not other factors make a dent. The Ramban seems to be saying initially they don't at all, which again, you could definitely have a hilchasa and still have counterweights. And then he himself is acknowledging that if the counterweight is strong enough, vadai naga. But it isn't vadai naga, meaning, it's not, it's like crossing the street, vadai naga. Right? Okay, so that's very important for this halakha. And then he says, go ahead. Then he says, Valesa isn't even like that. I mean, even if it's, a rove, b'miya shena matsui, whatever you want to call it, no latest, that's very b'chudash in the Ramban. To go that far, right? Not even a latest a suffix, and it's still, since it's a possibility, meaning suffix to Rishus Rabbim means not even suffix a shakol, not even, miuta de, whatever, miuta matsui, it means anything? Very important Ramban. If then he says something equally critical, and, so, go ahead, Belaysa. El tzarech she'e barilo, she'im tahorim, v'imlav, osalakri. This is a yesod of the Ramban. This is what I referred to many times. What's the idea of the Ramban? That whenever the Torah has a din of Shmira, Shmira doesn't just tell you, bottom line, make sure. Shmira means that the way that you relate to this particular category is that you should ensure that it's not Bali de Safek. I mean, Shmira isn't, just like a backup. Shmira is proactive. There's a din of Shmira. Where there's a din of Shmira, Shmira means don't rely on Klale Achra Safek. Right? Make sure, that you don't get that far. That's the din of Shmira according to the Rabbah. It's not a negative, it's a positive. It's like an investment and preclude a Safek. Despite the fact that he holds Safek Tum Rishus HaRabim is a real din, right? And it would apply even when there's practically no Leidus HaSafek. And yet, he says, when it's something that requires Shmira, Safek Tum Rishus HaRabim isn't going to help you. That's an amazing idea. Okay. It also implies that there's a din of Shmira and Kachim, which there is. So that opens up the next Ramban. I said we're going to have to stop. So there's a huge machlokas or rishonim in the sugya. This is the Ramban on the Kadshim side. Let's go back to the Chulin Hanas al Taurus HaKodesh side. So I want to finish up with this on Thursday. I want to talk about the scope of Chulin Hanas al Taurus HaKodesh. Based on the Gemara in Chagiga, the Gemara in Nida, the Gemara later on in Chulin, and the Gemara here. This Gemara is critical. Because the Pashas, if you look at the other Gemaras just very quickly, mostly, what is Chulin Shana Asal Taurus HaKodesh about? Josh, what applications? Chulin Shana Asal Taurus HaKodesh. Didn't see the Gemara's yet? Not Yoni? Levels of Tumah, exactly. Identifying, there's no such thing as Shlishi B'Tumah in Chul, or Revi. They belong to the world of Truma and Kar. Fascinating in its own right. Right? So can you have a shlishi and a ravi in chulin ever? That's according to the simple pshat in the Gemara, in the sugya in Nida. That's what the question of chulin shenasal al taurus hakodesh is all about. Is there a chalos, shlishi, and revi'i, latumma, and an afgamina, whether or not midrabanan, certainly, they carry forward to be matame, truma, kadshim, etc. Right? So it's a question of identity or defining levels of tumma. Or, for example, some level of chashash. Right? For example, Sugan Chagiga. What's Sugan Chagiga about? You only saw it? What's that? No. The Midras. Did you see that? On Yutes or Chaf? Mishnah there? Asher? Didn't see it? Aaron? No one saw the Chagiga yet? Just very quickly. Just what it is. Yeah. Yeah, you have milos. Number one, huchzak, but what level of kavanah do you need? That's one. But that's not what the Gemara connects Taurus HaKodesh to. They connect it to midras. Are you, if you have a midras of a shomer chulin, the tahara, right? If you have, I'm sorry, the midras of a chulin is considered tame midras for a. You know, for a person to show who's involved with kadoshim. The question is, what about the middle stat? Let's say somebody is mekabel to treat chulin al taharas hakodesh. Right? What is that? That's so. What is that about, really? How much can you rely on the namanus? And on the shmira, let's say, of somebody who takes upon themselves this commitment, correct? We'll discuss it more. Okay, fine. What about our sugya, Evan? Our sugya is talking about levels of tumma. Sounds like not. Why do we care? No. I know why we care in the sugya. I'm saying, so it's chulin shenas al taharas hakodesh, and therefore, so here Rashi says something, and the Ramban disagrees, and this is very important for the whole scope of the halacha. Rashi says, and therefore. If this is an exercise that you're doing that really simulates kachim, so you have to be careful not to be metame the chulin shenasu al taharas hakodesh. So there's an iser derabanan letame chulin shenasu al taharas hakodesh. That's how Rashi learns the sugya. That's much more substantive. You have to stop. That's much more substantive than any of the other Gemaras, which are talking about simply transmitting the tumma, the identity of something that has a mekabel tumma, right? Or the chashash, can you rely on this person? Oh, in our sugya, according to Rashi, there's a din of shmira, there's an iser, letamei, chulin shenas al taharas hakodesh, leman da'amar kekodesh dami. And the Ramban disagrees. Right? The Ramban says, we'll just leave with this, and I want to follow through with this next time. Pirsh Rashi, hello, who's our Yisrael al Taharas Chul Yas Chul Eim, right? If it Chulam Ma'ila Memra, Ve'ena Mechubar She'ena Hakpada Be'Iser Tumasan, says Ramban, Ela Lomar She'lechatchila Mosro Osam Lahem Ve'en Tahorim. Like, you know, you lechatchila, you should try to keep them tar. There's no Iser. Ve'od Dechi Amrina Bechulin She'nas Al Taharas Hakodesh Lo Asa Lashminan Ela She'en Tahorim. The idea is that they have the status of tahara. We will rely that they're tahar, legabe, kabbalas tumah of shlishi, avil iser ein betumasan, demand amar kekodesh dami lav leiser tumah shalehen kamar, demand amar lav kekodesh dami lav leheter tumasan, ela bedin taharasan pligi, shaloka divrei Rashi, elohachi perusha, tami b'chuna maila memra, pshita, the lok sivabu shmira. There's no shmira in chulin shenas al taharas hakodesh, says Ramban. Umabadi Matsi Shachit Bizar Shalo Yiga Babasar, but no. Then the Kibidalok Sibhu Shmira, Pita Shem Choshen Afil Nasa Batahara. That's why I said that what? That you have to read the second Ramban before. This is a charged line according to the Ramban. The Ramban's saying it's not that Midrabanan, it's Mishmeris Trumosai or Mishmarti, and there's a din of Shmira. And if there's no din Shmira, there's certainly no din Isolatame. It's all about trying to keep to your commitment and keep it tahar, that's all. But according to Rashi, Chun Shanas Al Taras HaKodesh, there's actually an Iser Latamos. There probably is a Din Shmira. There's a Din of Iser Latamos. And the Mikdash David suggests, but according to Rashi, there would be an Iser Achila for somebody who's tahar as well. So that's what I want to just pursue. The more you think that there is substance, not just counting or status, but the status that then figures into dinim in Taras HaKodesh, you could say, oh, that's better simulation. But more likely what it means is not just a better simulation, but the simulation requires that we really assign a status of Chefta Shel Tahara to this, even though it is Kula. So then the question is, well, once you're going in that route, are there still some things that don't apply? Right? Or in the other direction, even if the old Chulin Shinas Al Taras HaKodesh, Lavka Kodesh, maybe some Shmira Dinim could still apply. The Chovas HaGabra part could apply. So that's what I want to pursue. And then we'll definitely try to finish. We will finish, hopefully, on Thursday. And then Sunday to go forward with a little care of the Cholo. And then Prishas. So Hatzlacha on the Lechina. I've got to run. Yeah.
I was thinking the first thing I found was a mimer about whether or not a shemitah is a part of the olam shemitah dinner. And he actually takes the shot that it's a shemitah. Meaning that everyone has a shibud on their front.